This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about how to have an effective faith.
James chapter 2, starting with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If we say we have faith in God and there is no works to back it up, is dead. You see, the way you demonstrate your faith is not by what you say, but by what you do. And if you don't have any kind of action that backs up what you say you believe about God, then just shut your mouth. Because that faith you claim to have is dead. It's nothing. It has no effect. It is ineffective. Faith that does not move you to action is not true faith. For example, here's one of our new $20 bills. Okay? Now, suppose I said to you, I've got in my billfold 100 of these. And the first one of you who runs up here and grabs hold of this, you not only get this, you get the other 99 as well. Now, how would I know whether or not you had faith in my word? Now, I see how many of you have faith in me now, see? Ain't nobody moved. Because I have to tell you, I couldn't back it up. Couldn't back it up. Don't have 100 of these. But if you believed me, if you really believed me, if you had faith that I am a trustworthy person, wouldn't tell you a lie. And when I say that if you wake it up here first and grab hold of this, you got this one and another 99 coming. See that door right there? I'd be headed for that door because I know I'd get trampled. Amen? You see, if you really have faith, action's going to follow it. And if you can sit in your chair, hear me offer you $120 bills and not make a move, there's one or two things going on. Either you don't need any extra money, how many are in that category? Or you don't believe me. Amen? And in the same way, when God comes and makes his promises and says, you come to me, I've got blessings in store for you, and we don't move, what does it say? No matter what came out of our mouths, what? We didn't really believe it. Because if we believed it, we would have moved. Here's the principle. When you are walking in faith, you will always be doing something to put that faith into effect. Look at Psalm chapter 1, the first three verses. Here's the key principle about seeing our faith work for us. Psalm chapter 1. Verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, here's the thing that I want you to see. These three verses promise us that if we're the kind of person that we should be before the Lord, we're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That means we're not following our friends. Amen. Any of you ever give in to peer pressure? Amen. We're not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scornful. But our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law, in His word, we're meditating day and night. It says if we're that kind of person, we're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see a tree that's by the riverside? What is it? It gets big and strong with green leaves. Amen. We're going to be big and strong, refreshed all the time. And it says your leaf will not wither. You won't get dried up. And then it says whatever you do will prosper, but catch it. It didn't say whatever you want will prosper, did it? It didn't say whatever concerns you will prosper. What did it say? Whatever you do will prosper. So catch this, my friend. If you ain't doing nothing, what's going to happen? God can only prosper you in that which you do. So if you're not doing anything, God has nothing to work with. And so faith without works is dead. It cannot produce the results we want it to produce. James uses Abraham as an example. Go back to James chapter 2. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, let's stop and think about this for a moment. You may know that Paul talks about the fact that we are justified by faith and faith alone. Anybody remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen? So the scripture tells us that what God does in our lives, when he comes and saves us, he doesn't do that based on our works. So now, why would it be that James would come along and say, wait a minute, faith alone is not enough to save you. It takes works also. Is that a contradiction? One part of the Bible says it's faith alone. Another part of the Bible says, no, you got to have some works to go with that faith. No, there's no contradiction. Here's where what's working here. You see, James is making sure we understand what faith is. Because there's a kind of faith that's simply belief in your head. Amen. I believe that song we sung, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Suppose I was to play that on the radio and take a poll. Everybody who hears that song, how many of you believe, yes, Jesus loves me? How many people do you think would raise their hand? Quite a few. Amen? Quite a few. But here's the deal. They would say, I believe Jesus loves me, but are they doing anything about it? Have they done anything about it? You see, belief that doesn't have any action to back it up, what, is dead. That's not true faith. And so what James is talking about is, if you want to know if your faith is the kind of faith that God can work with, the thing you've got to look at is not just what you say you believe, but what? What kind of action are you put to it? What kind of action is backing up what you say you believe? If you don't believe it enough to move on it, if you don't believe it enough to get up out of your seat and come and get your blessing when it's offered to you, then you do not have faith. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think, what you believe, how often you read the Bible, how often you're in church, what kind of testimony you give. Oh, how I love Jesus. If you don't have enough faith to get up and move when God offers you blessings, you do not have faith. That's what James is talking about. No, it's not that our works will save us. No. What James is saying is this. If you think you've got faith, look at it. If your faith is not causing you to move into action, it's not the kind of faith that will save you. But now, wait a minute, you may be saying, do we always have to be moving and in action in order for God to bless us? Doesn't the scripture say we ought to wait on the Lord? Go over to Isaiah 40, 31. Aren't we supposed to wait on the Lord? Look at this. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So instead of getting into all of this activity, shouldn't we just be waiting on the Lord to fulfill our needs in life? Now understand what that word wait means. Most of the time when we say wait, what do we mean? Oh, I'm waiting for her, so I'm going to find me a chair and sit down and wait. Amen? But you see, that's not what that word means. What that word means is this. You're sitting at the table in the restaurant. I'm working for the restaurant. What do? I come up to you and say, how may I serve you? Amen? Why? I'm your waiter. I am waiting on you. Doesn't mean I'm sitting down. What? I've come to present myself to you for you to do with me, to make use of my services as you desire. So when it says wait on the Lord, it's not saying sit down and wait for God to do something. It's saying present yourself to him. Stand before him and say, Lord, you direct me and I'm moving. I mean, isn't that what you expect out of your waiter? If he's going to get a tip, amen, more than a dime. What you expect is that when you give him your order, he's moving. Amen? Amen. And in fact, what you really expect is you're sitting there, you haven't made up your mind yet. You look at the menu and you know, you're talking a little bit and so forth. You finally make up your mind what you want. You want to be able to look up and just catch his eye. And here he comes. You ready to order now? That's what you want. You see, you want him attentive. You want his focus to be on you. You know the ones that you don't feel like tipping? They're over there across the room someplace talking to another worker in the restaurant, and you've been waiting to order for 10 minutes. They're waiting. Oh, I was waiting on you to get ready to order. No. You should have been looking at me. Amen? See, that's what God is talking about. When he says, wait on the Lord, it's not saying sit down. It's saying you come and present yourself and say, Lord, you give me some direction. I'm on my way. I'm moving. I'm on it. And so when it talks about waiting on the Lord, that's something that means what we do is come before the Lord, put ourselves in position for God to move us the way he wants us to move. When I played football, those of you who don't like football, tough, because I'm going to keep on giving these football examples. I was an offensive lineman, and I had to learn to wait. You see, because it's unfair. I don't think it's fair at all. But offensive linemen never get to call the signals. That's the quarterback's task. And so the quarterback would call the play, and he would tell us what the snap count was. You know, particular play on two. And so my job as a lineman was to be ready to move on two. And until he called that signal, until he gave the snap count, I had to wait. But catch this. Before he ever got to the point where he was going to call that signal, I had to get up off the bench, go out on the field, get in the huddle, hear what the play was, turn around, go up to the line of scrimmage, get down in my stance, and be ready. As long as I was sitting on the bench, waiting. Oh, I'm waiting for the play to start. Here I am on the bench, waiting for the play to start. No, that doesn't work. See, I got to get myself in position to wait. And that's what God is calling on us to do. If we want to see his blessings flow in our life, if we want to see faith being effective in our lives, we have to take action to get ourselves in position so when the snap is called, we're ready to move. That's what it means to wait on the Lord. Well, then you ask, well, okay, I understand about the waiting part, but I mean, I do believe. Isn't believing important? Isn't believing important? Oh, yeah, go over to Acts 16, verse 31. Acts 16, 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Yes, isn't that right? Believing is absolutely necessary. You've got to believe. Nothing's going to happen until you believe. When Priscilla and I were, should I use the word courting? I don't know if that's what I did. When we were getting together. One day, I was away from home, and Priscilla called. And in fact, she said on her message that she knew I wouldn't be home, but she just had to tell me something. She just had to tell me something. And what she had to tell me was, you know, I really love you. Now, by the way, I couldn't let that go by. I recorded that, took it right off the telephone. But catch this. Do you know why she and I are married today? It's because I believed her when she said that. If I hadn't believed her, see, I'd already had experience with a girlfriend that I didn't believe really loved me. So, you know, I wasn't going down that road again. So the reason that I was able to move forward in that relationship is because I believed her. If I hadn't believed, nothing else would have happened. Amen? But catch this. Suppose I had listened to that message say, I believe you, and then just sat there. Didn't do anything about it. I say, oh, if she loves me, I guess, you know, if she wants to go out, she'll call me. Then you still, I'd be here preaching to you saying, well, one day the Lord's going to bring me a wife. No. See, I believed her, but then I followed up my belief by action. I did some things because of what I believed. If I hadn't believed her, I wouldn't have done any of that stuff. But if I had not done what I did because I believed her, nothing would have happened in our relationship. So yes, believing is vitally important, but believing without action to back it up will not take you anywhere. Let's look at what belief, that's true belief, looks like. Look at verse 23 of James chapter 2. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God, and his belief in God was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, let's take a look at what the scripture says what it means when it says that Abraham believed God. Go over to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Isn't that a great promise? God says, Abraham, here's my promise to you. I'm going to bless you mightily. You're going to be blessed among all the people of the earth. And in fact, the whole world is going to be blessed through you. Anybody gets on your case, I'll take care of them for you, Abraham. I'm the one that's backing you up. That's a great promise of God. Now, how did Abraham show that he believed God? Look at the next verse, verse 4. God had come to Abraham and said, I want you to get up out of your country, away from your family. Go to a place that I'm going to show you. You don't even know about it yet. And in verse 4, what happened? So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Do you see it? How did Abraham demonstrate that he believed God? Was it because he sat there and said, oh God, I believe in you? No, it was when God gave him instruction. What did Abraham do? He got up and did it. Got moving. The next time that happened, God told Abraham, I want you to take your son, Isaac, the one that I've told you is going to be your seed through whom I'm going to bless the whole world. I want you to take him up to a mountain and sacrifice him. And the thing I love about Abraham, you know what the scripture says? Early the next morning, Abraham got up, saddled his donkey, took Isaac, a couple of servants, and he was moving. No questioning. No, oh, God, how can you make me do this? This is my son. No. God gave him instruction, gave him direction. He was moving at the first opportunity. Amen. See, that's how Abraham demonstrated that he believed God. Abraham could have sat down all day and talked about how much he loved the Lord, how much he believed in him, but it wasn't until he moved that his faith was made effective. And that's the kind of faith that can save. The kind of faith that can cause miracles to happen in our lives. The kind of faith that can move mountains. It's the kind of faith that we put action to. How many of you would like to have a better job? Anybody here? Now, I can't raise my hand to that one. I got the best job on earth. But if you would like to have a better job, here's my question to you. Are you praying to the Lord?
Yes.
Amen? Are you praying in faith? Are you praying in faith? I'm not hearing too many amens.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. Now here's the next question. What are you doing about it? Okay, you believe God. God has said he'll prosper you. You're praying to him, asking him to prosper you, give you that new job you need. What are you doing about it? What kind of action have you put to what you say you believe? Are you just sitting down waiting for God to call somebody to come knock on your door and say, you know what? I was just driving through and I saw your house and I said, man, you know, I bet in that house is just the person I need to be vice president of my company. Is that what you're waiting for? You see, if you're believing God for a new job, you got to put action to it. You got to be doing something. You got to be moving on this thing. Faith that does not have action to back it up is dead. God has never promised, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but God has never promised to bring to your door everything that you need without you putting out any effort to go get it. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what it means. So you need to be asking yourself, God, what is the appropriate action for me to be taking in order to back up the faith I have? Go over to Psalm 75, verse 6. I'm going to read this to you from the King James Version because I like the word it uses here. Psalm 75, verse 6. You want to move up on your job and you're asking the Lord, you're praying to the Lord to do that. Will the Lord hear that prayer? Well, look at this. Psalm 75, 6. This is the way the King James puts it. For promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west, nor from the south. It says it's the Lord that raises up and the Lord that puts down. Amen? So if you want to be promoted, where's your promotion coming from? Coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. But now once you start focusing in on that promise and saying God has promised that he's the one that'll lift me up. He's the one that'll give me what I need. Take me to that next level in my career. Take me to a new place in my ability to serve him. Whatever it is that you're praying for, whatever it is you're believing God for, once you find that place in Scripture, you see the promise that he made, the next step is, Lord, what kind of action do I need to be taking to put myself in position so that when you call the snap count, I'm ready to move. Go over to Proverbs 23:19. Excuse me, 22:29. Proverbs 22:29. Still talking about getting that promotion that God promised us in Psalm 75:6, being lifted up to a new level. What kind of action do I need to be taking? Here it is. Look at this. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. What's God telling you? You want to be promoted? What do you need to be doing? You need to be excelling in your work. Amen? You need to be excelling in your work. We talked a few weeks ago about above and beyond faith. Anybody remember that? Above and beyond faith. You want to be promoted. What's God saying? You need to excel. What does it mean to excel? Go above and beyond. Above and beyond. Amen? So you just can't sit back and pray and expect God's going to drop that promotion on your plate. You need to be finding out, God, what kind of action do I need to take? Father, give me a specific plan. Show me what I need to do. How can I excel in the job that I'm doing? Maybe it is that you want your kids to grow up, to be strong and mature, going straight, not falling into all the traps that our society has set for them today. You're praying diligently for your kids to be young men and young women of God. And that's great because God has promised that He's going to care for your household. But what do you need to be doing to put yourself in position for God to answer that prayer? What action do you need to take? Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Starting with verse 6. Deuteronomy 6:6. If we want to see God bless our kids, make them what they're supposed to be, we need to ask the question, God, what action do I need to take? Here it is. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Do you see it? See, God has promised that He'll bless your kids. God has promised that He'll take your seed, and your seed will be blessed because of you, because of your relationship with Him. But it takes some action going with your faith. God says the way that's going to work out is whenever you're with your kid, whether you're at home, in the car, wherever you are, you need to be talking to them. What are you talking about? The Word of God. Talking about how good God is. Talking about how God has worked in your life. Talking about the wonderful things that God has done. Allowing them to see God in you. You see, if you're not taking action, don't expect God to take up your slack. God has made the promise, but faith without works is dead. And so here's the bottom line. If you're in faith, if you're calling on God to bless you in some way, and you're believing, Lord, I know it's true because you never lie. That's a great first step. That's a wonderful first step. You got to have believing. If you don't believe, nothing happens. But the next step then is to come before the Lord, begin to search His word, and find out what kind of action you need to take in order to back up your faith. Lord, what do I need to do to get in position for you to bless me? What are you asking God for now? Is it to buy a home? To be healed of some physical ailment? For a financial miracle in your life? You need God to turn your situation around financially. To change your relationship with your husband, your wife, your kids. What is it that you are asking God to bring to pass in your life today? And you're believing that God can do it. You're believing on the basis of His word that He wants to do it. You need to step back and say, God, I'm believing You for this. And now I'm going to search Your scriptures. And I want You to show me by Your Spirit what it is I need to do to put myself in position so that when the time comes, I will receive the promise. Faith without works is dead.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.